That's South Africa's Hugh Masekela with Timlela. It's from his 2002 album, Time. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I'm in the middle of major construction going on. I have run as far away from it as I possibly can, but if you do hear some strange noises, well, it's construction. Well, I want to talk today about what's looming or possibly looming behind the Flynn hearing. Is it the I word? Well, we'll see how as it goes. We'll see. The ongoing probe into President Trump's former national security advisor Michael Flynn's alleged dealings with the and collecting unreported income. Income that he earned from high-level Russian officials is at center stage in Washington right now. The spillover has enmeshed the Obama administration and the former president himself, who had fired Flynn and had warned Trump against hiring him, allegedly because Flynn was considered a security risk. The congressional probe widens as it continues, and one thing is clear. Trump's administration is, in fact, chaotic, and it mirrors the president's own style. He's being shown as erratic and blithely dismissive of important issues, reluctant to take advice, and seems to have a penchant for making his own rules. The Flynn probe, added to Trump's multiple infractions since taking office, might be making a case for the I word. You know what the I word is. It's impeachment. Well, we have had several governmental bodies pass resolutions calling for an investigation of Donald Trump's actions with an eye toward wondering whether his actions warrant impeachment. Los Angeles Council had taken a vote just last week, 10-0, in favor of opening up its own probe into a possible investigation of Donald Trump and whether his actions have in some ways constituted grounds for impeachment. We also have Berkeley taking such a vote and passing it. Richmond, Virginia, and the Vermont town of Charlotte having passed similar resolutions. And it's spreading. Many people are thinking, especially, and the reason this is noteworthy, is that they are in office. Many people in public office are now openly expressing the desire to encourage the bodies that they belong to encourage a vote on this question. The idea being that the more votes, such votes are taken, the more there would be some inclination by Congress to look into the possibility of impeaching Donald Trump. But on what grounds? I don't know. I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm just noting the fact that it is beginning to happen and people are more and more talking about possible impeachment of the president in this particular situation where we saw the probe of Flynn. I mean, a lot of things there that surfaced are very, very serious. In terms of the dereliction of duty by the president that may or may not have harmed the security of the country, you know, they'll formulate the reason differently. But essentially, has a president racked up enough of these kinds of infractions to cause or to trigger a move in Congress to look into impeachment? Now, the interesting thing, and I raise it today, in 1974, May 9th, 1974, the U.S. House Committee on the Judiciary actually opened up its public hearings on impeachment against President Richard Nixon. And you know how that went. This was relative to the Watergate scandal. So I thought to myself, it seems like there is momentum going in that direction. And if so, what does this mean for our politics, really? I mean, so far, to be very honest, I feel that this president is a great disappointment. I mean, a really horrible disappointment. In the way that he's doing things and the way that he's not doing things. He seems to have little, if any, regard for, you know, the standing order. He just makes up his own rules. He's not particularly well informed. Many things that he has done are patently illegal. And then we have it compounded by his family members. What a crew that is, and the fact that they're operating in quasi-elected office, but not yet quite. They have titles, but then they don't. They're doing all kinds of crazy things that are in total contravention to the law. You know, we have his son-in-law, who is like a co-president or a vice president, but without the official title, without having been elected, and apparently accountable to no one. His daughter is also doing some strange things on her own. So it seems as if this president has not yet realized that he is running a country. And there are many things that he must do, that he's required to do and called to do as president, whether he likes it or not. So I don't know if you're hearing this buzzsaw, but it's driving me nuts. The idea being that we have an out-of-control president who is heading up an out-of-control government, an out-of-control administration. And the people do not feel safe. They don't feel secure. They don't feel like, you know, they can rest a little assured that somebody competent is in charge. We see not just the president making these grotesque errors and, omissions, but we have so many of the people he has installed in cabinet positions also unable to carry out their duties competently because they have had no experience, really. So is impeachment called for? Is it applicable? Or should people give the president a chance? I read a columnist who said, well, maybe the president deserves the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he can be rehabilitated. Maybe we should hold on to the hope that he would see that he ought to do things differently. And but others are saying, no, this president is taking us right down the drain pipe, and we have to do something and do it now. So what are your thoughts about that? Is it your feeling that impeachment is something that would just end this misery, this craziness that we seem to be experiencing day after day? We have no idea what's going to happen. That is his fault. What he's going to do next that would put us all at peril. So we have to find a way out. He appears to be listening to no one, including his own party. The Republican Party is very, very upset. Many in the Republican Party are, because they can't seem to get through to this guy that his ways of doing things are not the right way, and they're causing problems. Eventually, they will cause problems come re-election time. So I don't know what you're thinking. We'll take this break and we'll find out right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.fm. We're talking about the I word that seems to be cropping up in conversations a lot in many columns these days, especially with this federal probe going into his former national, national security advisor. Is Donald Trump making himself to be a good candidate for impeachment, given all the things that he has done and continues to do that fly in the face of the law, custom, and expectation? We do not expect a president to do some of these things that he continues to do. We do not expect a president to break the law and just be flippant about it. We do not expect the president now to bring in other people, recruiting other people to come in and break the law. They're not elected. They're not in any way official, except that he has just made them so. So what are your thoughts? Marie from Baltimore, you're on the air.
Good morning. I want him out fast. Impeach him and whatever else. The way this country is going and being hard on immigrants, African Americans, and poor folks, old folks like me, I want him out immediately. I don't want to give him a chance. If he is goofing up now, he's going to be goofing up more in the future, and it might be a catastrophe. Listen, you have a good day, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Marie is not interested in the details. She just says, get rid of him. But it, of course, is not as simple as that. It's a very serious thing. I wonder whether you can identify what you think are just causes and reasons for seeking the impeachment of the president. Do you believe that there is a possibility that he will kind of turn around? Is it a lost cause? And should the people, meaning through their representatives, of course, just like some of the towns and cities that have already gone that route, to vote that there needs to be a formal probe into the possibility of impeaching the president? Ali, you're on the air from New York.
Hi, you, Trish. How are you doing?
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to let you know that I did call Rudy Crew, and I also called the chancellor. And the lady who answered for the chancellor was very nice. She listened to everything that I had to say. And Rudy's line was overloaded, so you have to leave a message. So I just want to let everybody know about that, that they should call. Let me just say something. I just wanted to say this. It scared me. First of all, if they impeach him, he will resign because he already said that the job was harder than what he thought. So to him, he already accomplished what he wanted to do. And it was that title to be a president, to me. That's the way it seems to me. So I don't think he really will care either way that they take him out. But I'm scared. This gentleman, Pence, I will bet that if he gets into power, he will make Paul Ryan his vice president. And I have to tell you, just thinking about those two gentlemen in power with the three government houses under them. I mean, you're talking about the Supreme Court, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. I'm really scared. That's what I have to say.
But what, in your mind, constitutes grounds for impeachment? What has Trump done that you think impeachable offense?
To me, one of the things that he has done is still conducting business. And this is one thing that they're talking about, that he is still accepting payments for foreign country. And it has something to do with his empire, the real estate. And they have been talking about that over and over. And also, they're talking about even his son-in-law, mm-hmm. how his son-in-law is also involved in conducting and still the business, and the daughter, Ivanka. Ivanka hasn't given away the power of her corporation. As a matter of fact, look what her father and her did. They got the guy from China. They talked to him, and right away, this woman's empire is going to China to sell her merchandise. So,
well, not only that, we had his... even Jared Kushner's sister going to China to sell under this special arrangement that has been in place for so long, that if you invest a certain amount of money in the United States, you will get a pretty good chance of getting permanent residence in the United States. So they have this project in Jersey City, and the sister was in China trying to sell units in this complex, going for $500,000 and up. And if you buy a unit as a Chinese person, you would have the added benefit of having a straight ride to U.S. Permanent residency. So this was what was going on. And it was reported that at this hotel where this seminar, the sales seminar, was being conducted, there was a picture, a big picture, I saw it, of Donald Trump. And she mentioned, the sister mentioned, of course, that her brother is in the Trump administration. So it's very clear that they're merchandising their access to and their presence in the Trump administration. It's all about money. So I think you're dead on with this one of the business. He has not cut ties with the business. And this is a major, major problem. And he knows it's a conflict, and he continues to do it. He continues to ignore the law. And he can't. He's not allowed to do that as president of the United States. So, in fact, this was the very charge that most of the cities taking the vote to impeach have cited, the conflict of interest. Thanks so much for calling in. Khalil from South Carolina, you're on the air.
Good day.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, good afternoon, and this is a very, very rich topic. I will try to be brief. Okay, so the first thing that I think is not getting enough attention is that it's very clear to anyone who has a social science background that the current president is suffering from mental illness. Okay, he's delusional, he's paranoid, might be some dementia going on. He could have tertiary syphilis, which results in aberrant behavior and erratic behavior that he's displaying.
But that's he's a germaphobe.
Right. I mean, that's okay to be a germaphobe, but I think it's a cumulative type of thing. And yes, he is a germaphobe. And that, that falls into some of these borderline disorders. But it would be nice if there would be two independent exams. He can have his own, a real doctor, not his internist, but a mental health professional, and then one that's picked by maybe a panel consisting
but
of...
How does any of that fit into being a legitimate target for being indicted for with impeachment?
Well, the 25th Amendment states that if the president becomes incapacitated, it lays out guidelines, and it includes mental illness. And that was really, it really came to the forefront after the Kennedy assassination in terms of what would happen if the president becomes incapacitated.
Right.
Now, of course, Kennedy was incapacitated because his brain was injured from the bullet, but it also involves mental illness. That's just part of it. Then we have the emoluments. He's enriching himself, and like that was stated earlier, he has failed to divest himself. And then he said, well, you know, I'll let my children take over my investments, and now the children and the in-laws are inserted into the White House, so that actually means nothing at all.
Supposed to place, and this is what he had said he would do, was place the children as well, place their assets in a blind trust. They haven't done that.
No, that's not happened, exactly. And you see, every time he goes to Mar-a-Lago, people have, you have to get a membership, which doubled in price up to $200,000 just to set foot on the property. And as you know, private clubs, even if you're not a member, maybe you can get on, but you still have to pay a fee. So he's just stealing as much as he can, as fast as he can, along with the rest of his family. And then there are the appointments are just absolutely, we've never seen anything like this. And see, this is nothing about being a sore loser, you know, whether you're a Democrat or an independent or a Green Party person. It's really got nothing to do with that. It's about the incompetence and the mental illness. And the lack of divestment. And it's just too much at this point. Now, the problem is that the Republican Party has the executive branch, the congressional branch. I mean, they have all three branches of government right now, and they still can't get any legislation done. Now, if we had a real president, maybe something would get done. We probably wouldn't agree with it, but at least the system would work. And we need, I'm glad we're talking about this because this conversation needs to happen because what it's going to take is pressure. We're going to have to call up our congressman that we didn't even vote for, but it doesn't matter that this is a representative democracy and they still work for us. So we have to call them, write them, put pressure on them. They know that man is incompetent. They know it. And it's a travesty. It shouldn't have gone on this long. So that's, I want to let some other people talk, but it's just plain. It's so plain.
Thank you, Khalil, for your contribution today. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Oh, well, good afternoon, you, Teresa, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope you are continuing to recuperate and do well.
Thank you.
I think Khalil and pretty much verbalized my viewpoint. You know, even if Donald Trump would be impeached, the appointments still are very troubling. When you look at people like Rex Tillerson, who really is a warmonger in terms of Syria and North Korea, and you look at the economics with Wilbur Ross and all of these other appointments, you know, he put people in critical places that even if he were to leave, they would continue to stranglehold us.
Exactly.
And so, you know, you almost wish that he would just stay where we can just, you know, ridicule him.
But we can watch him.
yeah. You know, as he implodes. I mean, you look at, I don't know if you saw this morning where now they're talking about looking at Haitians to see if Haitians
yes.
have committed crimes and if they have been using public funds as a means to send them back to Haiti because the country is now stable. You know, that's not Donald. That's the people around him. So even if he were to go, the noxious people who would remain would be a problem for us.
No question. What would you say, what could you point to specifically that you think makes a strong point for impeachment?
No, I mean, I think Khalil I'm blocking her name. I think those were the two
Ali.
Issues. Ali, yeah, his business interests. I mean, it's just blatant. You would have to be blind to ignore that. I think his business interests more than anything, because I watched all of that seminar on Friday with Jared Kushner's sister, and it was supposed to, under the guise of investment in real estate, but it's a pay-to-play visa to the U.S.
So That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So it's more his business interest that I think makes him extremely vulnerable.
All righty. Thank you. Very informative as usual. Thank you so much. Let's see if we can talk with Gwen from New York City.
Hi, Latrice.
Hello.
I'm live from Central Park. It's gorgeous here. Just letting you know. I walk and talk with you, okay?
Oh, I'm so grateful about that.
I'm going to burn off those calories, girl, while I'm talking to you about politics. So I agree with everything that everyone has said so far. And in my own mind, I've been, you know, kind of tearing my hair out, trying to find what law you can pin him on. And we still have a problem because the president is exempt from the emoluments law, and so is the vice president, which to me shows that, you know, he had some pretty good lawyers available to him before he got in, because he knew exactly what he was allowed to do, because nobody was really paying attention to these laws. So I don't know if we can get him on that.
I'm not sure that he's exempt from the emoluments law.
Well,
and that is why they have other companion pieces to the law that say that you can do something if you are in danger. If the president is found to be in danger of violating the emoluments law, emoluments means that the president or anybody else is benefiting by virtue of his position or her position, they will continue to benefit from the money that they have or the assets that they have, which would be a conflict of interest. So they're not allowed to make money based on that.
But my understanding of the law was that it is for everyone else, and there are two offices that are exempted from that, and that's the president and the vice president. Now, I might be wrong about this, but I think if they really had the law hard and fast on their side, I do think that the Democrats would have been pushing to get him out, you know, almost as soon as he got in, because he started demonstrating the violation of this law as soon as he got in.
That is why it was suggested by many in the financial field. They were suggesting, because this president has a unique profile in this sense. He's got money, his kids have money, his grandchildren have money, and they have businesses that generate revenue and income. So the suggestion was he will have to put his assets, his money, as will his children, will have to put their assets and money in what they call a blind trust, he's not going to know how his money is being handled or anything like that. He'll have zero contact with who is managing his money and what's going on with his money. But he should put his money into a blind trust until he leaves office. And
He hasn't done it yet. And his daughter has let his brothers, the brothers are taking care of her business, and I'm pretty sure she knows what's going on there. But I just wanted to also touch on Patricia. I agree 100% with her, and this was the first thing I thought of when you opened the conversation, is it is not enough to impeach Trump, because the people that work the appointments that he has put there are so much smarter than he is and so much more deviant. He is deviant, but I swear they went right to hell to pick up these people. Betsy DeVos, Rex Tillerson. And so you have this really maniacal staff in place. And, you know, they see him as a stooge, and they'll get what they can get from him until they can kick him to the curb. And they're already in power. And I don't know this seems to be the real danger to us are the people that he put in those cabinet appointments.
Well, one thing at a time. So
I know.
Some cities have already gone through the trouble of passing resolutions calling on Congress to investigate whether any of Trump's actions violate the law to the extent that he should be impeached. I mean, that's an interesting start. And more cities are taking on that role as well, and they're looking for ways in which to demand that Congress proceed with impeachment. But I don't know how far it will go. I don't know what impact these things would have.
I definitely think it's in place. The problem also with impeachment, though, is it takes a long time. And by the time, you know, his 4 years, we might get him impeached or just get to the process by the time he's almost finishing out. And by that time, he'll have a lot of terrible things. He's every day you wake up and you can't believe what you're seeing. So I can't think it's going to get any better with this maniac at the helm. But I don't know. I think the other guys that are smarter than him are super scary, too. Because let's face it, he's only doing what they're telling him to do.
No question. Thank you so much, Gwen, for your call. And enjoy your day. Enjoy your walk. Chris from West Palm Beach, you're on the air.
Hi, you, Therese.
Hello.
I don't think he will be impeached. I think he would only place himself in those crosshairs if he goes against the rules, if he goes against the wishes and desires of the Zionists or the neocons that are currently running him. If you see, his main right-wing base is upset at his actions. They can't believe what's going on. But if you notice, the press coverage has gotten a lot, well, I won't say a lot, it's gotten a little bit better for him since he attacked Syria, started talking tough towards North Korea, et cetera. So I think the talk of impeachment is, I don't think it's an issue. I don't see him being impeached unless he does something vastly different than what they want him to do.
But the flip side of the attack on Syria and the saber rattling that he's doing with North Korea, that too was part of the reason that people are saying that he exceeded his authority. We don't know how that would play out because that is a legal fight. Did he operate within the confines of his authority as president, or did he exceed that authority? But then there are other ways as well to look at Trump and his power, the power that he has but does not use, the power that he has but abuses. These are some of the things, that would constitute reasons for impeachment.
I guess because in my mind, I'm also thinking, well, you know, Obama killed Americans, you know, abroad just because he felt it was a good idea to kill. I can't remember his name now, but he killed his son. And I think Trump killed the daughter in the latest attack on his granddaughter. So I'm just saying this just seems like continuation of American policy. I don't see it as, oh, Trump is doing something so worse. I mean, we could sit here and talk about things that the last three or four presidents that have done that have been impeachable and nothing happens to these people. So as long as he follows their game plan, he's safe. They'll block him in the courts on some of his domestic issues, like they're trying to do with his supposed ban. So he probably won't be able to do too much damage on the domestic front either. But the main thing is foreign policy, and he seems to have bought into their game, even though at first it seemed like he might not have.
Well, I think we will have to wait a little bit longer because we want to see where this is going. So far, some significant cities have taken this action, wanting to press Congress with following through on a resolution. So we'll see how it's going. But I don't know that we can feel comfortable that it's not going to go very far. I think it has to do with whatever Trump decides to do next, what outrageous thing he decides to do next. And it is, as I just said, it's not just his acts of commission. It could also be his acts of omission, like this thing that they're doing now with Flynn. I mean,
absolutely.
He was advised not to hire him.
Exactly. And then he went ahead and did it anyway. So that speaks to his intelligence, which is very little there to begin with.
After being warned by none other than a previous president, that this is going to be a problem for him if he did it. Then he did it, and then it took him 18 days after the last warning to finally, you know, cut the cord. So that's an act of omission, and that's reckless. If a person that you have named is none other than a security advisor, a national security advisor, isn't secure. And you continue to operate that way, it means that you're beyond stupid. You're just willfully and intentionally stupid. So it speaks to the recklessness of this president. So we'll see if that counts. Acts of omission count.
Yeah, we definitely will. But, you know, it's almost, you know, it's a tragedy and a comedy at the same time.
Yes, it is. It is. It absolutely is. And then we don't know what kind of muscle such a push for a resolution will be backed up in Congress. As much as the Democrats talk, they haven't flexed their muscle yet, you know, in a meaningful way. I don't want to say it's 100% the case, but it is. They're not as forceful as they ought to be. They're not in a space where when they rattle their sword, everybody goes, oh, this is really, really serious. You know, they say, well, you know, it's the Democrats. And we'll see what they do next. We'll wait to see what they do. Thanks so much for calling in and contributing.
The Democrats don't do anything, so I'm not too worried about that. But
exactly.
Thank you, Therese. Have a good one.
Exactly. From Edgewater, E, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice.
Hello.
Hope you're feeling better and getting better every day.
I think so. I'm trying.
I know. You got a great heart. You got a great spirit.
Thank you so
Hello
much.
Hello, to our audience.
Thank you.
I don't know. I just, I still feel that Trump and the Clintons and that they're all like a cardboard cutouts, and they're made to do the dirty work for the system, and the system is doing whatever it wants because it's designed that way. It's created this illusion. I mean, we don't seem to... there's a space station up in space, right? And on this space station, Russians, Americans, Brazilians, Canadians, Japanese, they're all getting along up there. So that tells me that they're all getting along down here, too. They just want to make it this way because they want people to be in fear so they can be controlled. So that's all I see going on.
But do you see any possibility that the move for impeachment will grow to the degree that, in fact, that will be a reality? The impeachment will be a reality. Do you see that there will be enough galvanizing of power to force such an outcome in Congress, where they will demand or vote articles of impeachment against him?
I think it all depends on what's better for the system. If it's better for the system for Donald Trump to be impeached, then that he'll be impeached. If it's better for him to, for the system to keep him in power, you know, as a cardboard figure who they control, then it, then he'll keep as the president. Forget, he's been doing these ridiculous things since the very beginning of the primaries. And we keep jumping from Trump to Hillary to Bernie to this one to that one, Obama now, he's making, you know, it's just an ongoing thing. And they're doing exactly what they want to do. And we got to give them a lot of credit. They're doing a brilliant job here. They did a brilliant job with the World Trade Center. They're doing a brilliant job. And they're pulling off all of this stuff. It's incredible. And I'm just amazed that we think we're so well informed and we have all this information, but then again, on the other hand, we don't seem to know anything that's going on and we can't figure it out. And I think this Hillary thing with the Medgar Evers, it's just to get people mad, just to get people thrown off the track, to keep us off balance, because they know that they're hitting us in our heart, you know, and that's a hard place to when you have to you know, keep your composure and try to keep your mind on things that are important. I mean, this health care. Why can't we have health care for people 60 and over? You get free health care. And if you're working and you can afford, then you pay into the system. This way, at least people would know they're paying into it and they're helping out the elders so they can have health care. And they're the ones that really need it. Not all these young people should be eating right. I'm not any better. You know, my first 30 years, I drank cow's milk because they told me it was good for me. So I did it. And then I found out it was wrong. So why should I trust this system for anything? You have to trust yourself, and we have to get on some kind of other track to get to become better defenses to ourselves.
Okay. Well, thank you for contributing. Some very interesting thoughts there. Thank you very much for calling in today. Chris from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Retrace. I had to call in because this previous caller, the one that you just, I don't remember his name, I totally agree with what he said. I'm just, how can I say this? I say this in with all due respect. People have a right to their impressions and their opinions. I can't understand how the idea of impeaching him, Donald Trump, would even enter people's minds as a possibility without, by extension, impeaching the people around him and the people who are embedded in this whole system, as the previous caller was talking about. I don't understand. I don't know whether it's the American mindset. I don't know whether it's a sign of the global times. It just seems like there's this fickle, I don't know, there's a fickle quality about American thinking. I'm sorry to say that. There's a, I mean, and who would replace him? Hillary Clinton, who is now saying that she is in the resistance. And my question would be, what in the hell is she resisting? What is she resisting right now? When she says she's in the resistance, what in the name of anything that anyone
it's
believes
marketing.
In is she resisting?
That's what it is. It's the word
right.
Resistance has actually been introduced by people who actually are resisting. So she just simply co-opted it and is making the best of it, marketing herself as a reborn political person. But, you know, we're talking about the other guy, the other the miscreant. The reason that we have laws applying to the reason we have these impeachment laws is that they were specifically made to address the holder of that office and others who are similarly situated, holding an office that binds them to observing certain laws and rules on top of the ones that they would normally have. But these are other or further restrictions on them because of the nature of their office. So these laws were put together for that purpose. And it is under this particular purpose and these laws that the people have a chance of being more directly involved, even though, of course, in the end, it will be the Senate that will remove a president. But that is also informed by the people. So when these laws are made, they become specific. There's no wiggle room, really, not much wiggle room that you can have. And so it gives a little bit more heft to charges being brought against the head of state under these laws. And that's why they exist. So impeachment under these laws carries a heavy bang, if you will. It's not, you're outside of regular law, in a sense, and you're specific as it applies to the conduct of the head of state with respect to these itemized laws. And that's the basis on which you argue for impeachment. And in an ordinary situation, it would be, the parallel would be, you know, getting fired as an employee. And even so, there are some specific rules and laws applying to that kind of situation. What is legal and what is not legal in terms of a firing? What protections exist and what protections don't exist? So it is just meant to be as specific as possible so that there isn't a broad argument to be made here. It's very, very narrow, very strictly defined. And on the basis, yay or nay, you get to go. The Senate will vote, and you leave. You get to go. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't understand. This is like, it's not a rhetorical thought or question. I don't understand. They seem to apply the entire system now. I have total respect for the law. I know exactly what you were saying. I really do appreciate what you were saying, you know, in its principle, very much so. And I happen to be very much, you know, I happen to have a lot of those beliefs in my own head. These are applied very selectively. And that's why I really agreed with the previous caller, because where we are now at this point in time, and it's not just the United States, it's this whole global banking cabal. And I don't want to go past what you asked, but I think everything is related and it's interrelated. They are doing exactly what they have signed, sealed, and delivered to do. And they are doing it now. Everything else is a diversion. So when they decide that, you know, this guy isn't working too well for X, Y, or Z reason, but we will use it as much as we can to achieve our ends. So they selectively decide that they look in and they decide, well, that's illegal. Well, my response would be, well, who exceeded his authority? Did Barack Obama not exceed his authority as president? Did anyone as Secretary of State, be it Hillary Clinton or anyone who has been president for the last, I don't know, since Reagan? I mean, when was the last time that Congress actually approved any kind of action? The idea that this man, who is not fit for the presidency in his present form, I would hesitate to cast aspersions on his intellect or the fact that he may not be mentally sound, because I would apply that to a lot of others. So I don't like the discussion being at such a low bar. I really would love to see the discussion just elevated a little bit. I think we've become very anti-intellectual in this country, and the idea that we dislike some to such a degree where we would like to see him, you know, even assassinated, I've heard people say, is very disturbing to me. But I mean, at what point do we decide that, you know what, this is what we have to deal with? I mean, who has not exceeded his or her authority? Who?
I appreciate that point. However, we have no pre-qualifier. We have no a battery of tests as to who qualifies to be president. All we have is a system of votes. And the person who gets the most electoral votes or the person who gets the most popular votes and so forth, that's the system that we have. We don't have a system that requires mental examination before you even put your name on the ballot. So this is, it's weird, but that's the way it is. We get what we get, how we get them. And then we suffer through the agony of discovering that these people are not, they're not supposed to be where they are, even though elected. So that is a little conundrum right there. You have a president, but the president is not the one. He's not the guy who should be there. You have to remove him, or you will have to put up with whatever comes down the pike from this president. So this is the issue. The dilemma is we don't have pre-qualifiers. So the impeachment process is a way of saying, okay, they made it through and they're a disaster. If you can prove A, B, C, D, and E, then we could proceed with a removal process. That's the only thing we have. You invoke the rules that they put down there in case a candidate should prove unworthy or disastrous and the people want him or her gone. That's the process that they have. That's the only process, I think, the only process we have to legally remove a president. It's impeachment.
Well, this should have been an issue that the Democrats and people should have thought of before Donald Trump actually won, because it's very selective. The following the law has become very selective in this country, whether you're a small person living paycheck to paycheck. The only people who get to decide when they decide to use the law is people who are in power. And by that, I mean possibly wealthy, not necessarily so, because look at a lot of people in the media, okay? Even though they present themselves as they are one of us, they really are not one of us, because they have the microphone and they have the ability and they have the background. I'm not sure that they have the education, to be very honest with you, because we could get into a discussion of how much do they really know and understand, because there's a difference between knowing facts and saying, well, this happened, and so this is a conclusion, and really having an understanding of something because it gets into your head and you think about it. I don't think that takes place anymore, you know. But
I don't think that
people,
it ever did take place.
Well,
you know,
I think it's gotten
I'm
worse.
I'm not sure that ever occurred. But we're talking about the current situation where more and more people are finding themselves averse to the president. But there are laws that tests, if you will, that you have to meet to remove that person legally from office. And we are in the discussion of what is that going to look like? Is that possible? Can it happen? If so, what are the ground rules? And can they be, I mean, are they going to exist at any point? Are people going to push this to the point where we will have a consideration, because we've had it before, a consideration of impeachment? So we'll see. Thanks so much. And that brings us to the end of our program today. I'm so delighted that all of you can join in and contribute and ignore the buzzing behind me. A lot of construction workers. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm attracted to them, or they are attracted to me. Landscaping people, anybody that makes a noise, a big noise, they say, where's your trees? Oh, she's over there. Let's all go over there and make some more noise. But you just have to live with it. Listen, I want to remind you about that number to call for this demonstration that is being planned at Medgar Evers College on June the 8th. The number to call is 347-730-3620. That's 347-730-3620 or 718-440-6892. 718-440-6892. Thank you so much for joining me today. Coming up next, The Infectious Myth with David Crowe. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. But let's meet again tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel, and we'll do some more talking. How about that? Bye-bye.